Let us prepare to hear this word by sharing the prayer of illumination together. Friends, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. And now a reading from the 65th chapter of Isaiah, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me, please. Gracious and holy God, in this pre-Advent season where we look at the prophetic words and the promises that you continue to uphold and fulfill in our lives, may we hear what you would have us hear this day. May you stir our hearts to hear your whispers into our lives, and may we be challenged to live in this new creation that you promised so long ago. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the days are surely coming. Miss Kathy definitely gave us a glimpse that nothing stays the same. Change is always happening. But the question is that change for good or is it not? When we read this passage of Isaiah, it's helpful to remember when it was written and who it was written for, and what we as people gathered today can glean from this message of the prophet. For those of you who were with us last week, you know the prophetic word was recorded so that when it came to fruition, you could validate that it truly was a message from God for God's people. But Isaiah, if you look at it, this is the season. It was written after God's people had been taken into exile and were beginning to return back to their place of origin. They were coming back to Jerusalem, which was at the heart of who they were, because that was the center of their worship life, where their identity was found in God, who had rescued them from slavery in Egypt and now were calling them home from exile. So just know that that's kind of where they were, because their life had been completely disrupted, and now they were trying to imagine, what does this look like for us now, having spent so far away from home and coming back into this place? I'd be curious a little bit. Have y'all ever gone somewhere where maybe you didn't necessarily want to be there and all you could hope for was to go back home or to a place that was familiar to you. Because you're like, man, this is not like home. I cannot find my favorite sweet tea. I can't find my favorite biscuits. And I can't find a decent pizza to save my life, right? Like, you don't want to be there. And that was what these folks were. They were in a place where they did not want to be there. And part of it is because, one, they were ripped from their religious life and community. But more importantly, the work that they did was not for God. It was for the powers that had enslaved them and used their labor, their skills, to build up that place. Because, see, when they took God's people into exile, they took the ones who knew how to make things or craft things or were highly talented, leaving behind the widows, the orphans, the lame, the ones less desirable to build up the powers and principalities. So everything they did in exile was not for their own benefit, but to build and enrich that governmental system. Does that seem anything like what we vision see in today's world? It does, right? That the work that we do is often leveraged to uplift other people and not necessarily for our own well-being. Maybe not even having our basic needs met, right? But there's this desire to go back to the place that's familiar, that our identity is found, that we love, with people that we know. And here's one of the things that I know for a fact. When you do return to whatever place it is, it will not be like it was when you left. You know, so we look and we say, I just want to go there because that's where my friends were. Or, you know, I knew. But then you go back and you realize that your favorite pizza joint is closed and replaced with a gas station. Or the neighbors that you had have all moved away to other places. And that maybe, you know, being in school, the kids you had gone to school with, they're not there anymore because they've moved on with what they were doing. And so there's this sadness, right, of like, I want to go home, but that home is not going to be how I remembered it. So then the challenge becomes, thank you, Pastor Amy. Oh, goodness. Church, so thank you, Pastor Amy. So then I would just have to swallow, gargle, and yes, thank you. We will try to make it through. So we know that we can't go back to the way that it was because the people that were left behind continued to live their lives. They continued to do what they were doing, and we were no longer part of what was going on there because we were somewhere else. I've had that experience of growing up in a military family where, you know, I would just go to the next place and the next place and the next place, not realizing the holes that I left behind. You know, and that hole, whoever was left, remembered what it used to be, but even in their wishing to have it go back to the way it was, it can't. It has to be different. It will be different. And that is where we sit right now with this promise, with this prophetic word. And I was reading it, and I was just struck in conversation with my colleagues that there were lots of shalls followed by shall nots. Did y'all catch that? No more shall the sound of weeping cry. No more shall there be in it an infant who dies. There's this expectation of what God is creating will be a certain way that fulfills God's promises, but maybe not our own vision. And I love this because God is also speaking about how when we are able to be who we are called to be, then we will be able to live in the houses that we build. We will be able to eat the fruit upon which we grow. No one else will benefit from what we're doing or take advantage of it, but it will be for good. Not only our own, but for the community. And I sit there and I think, oh my gosh, we shall not labor in vain because this offering is blessed by the Lord, not only to them, but to all the descendants afterwards, which means that promise holds for us as well. And then I get to the last verse. Actually, the last two. And here's what I want us to hold on to right now. Before they call, I will answer. Did you hear that? Before we call out to God, God will answer us. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Meaning, while we're speaking and we haven't finished our sentences, God has completed it for us. Isn't that incredible to think that God is already aware of what it is that we need or what those words are that are going to come from us, and it's going to be for good, for building up. And then this new vision of a new creation. Listen, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Is that the normal order of things? No, because the wolf eats the lamb, right? The lion shall eat straw like the ox. Since when did a lion become an herbivore? The lion would eat the ox, but they're going to eat hay together? And then, remember how I said shalls and shall nots, that there are the positives and then the negatives, and it says, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. Do you remember why the serpent is on the ground? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 with the introduction of sin and the consequence of, you know, being the serpent who's spoken to Adam and Eve to say, hey, don't you want to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? The consequence was to be at the feet of people in the dust. But they shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. I want you to take just a couple minutes. And if I was like really doing my teacher thing, I would make you talk to the people next to you and share your responses, but I just want you to take a couple minutes. The wolf and the lamb, the lion and the ox, are sin and are not sin. Sin, forgiveness. These seem to be very polar opposite things, am I right? So I want you to take a couple of minutes, and if you have something you want to jot it down, you can, or you can think about it. But I want you to think about where you're seeing some of those polar opposites or divisions in our lives. Right now, concrete, where are we seeing those places where they tend to be separate and apart? Just take a couple minutes and think about that. And looking around the sanctuary, I would probably say that if I asked each one of you, you would come up with probably a very different place of division. Polar opposite things. That is not what God promises us. What we're seeing and rejoicing in this new creation is that those places of division, those places of brokenness, is not what God intends. Rather, God intends reconciliation, and those things that divide us will exist no more. That our commonality as humans of being the divine image bearers is what will draw us together into a place of peace and grace and reconciliation. God is not done creating. God hears what it is that we need before we even say it. God will answer before we even speak what it is that we need. For God continues to create and recreate and create and recreate again. And the beautiful part of that is we get to be part of it. We get to be co-creators with God in this reconciliation, this new heaven, this new earth right now in this place. Why and how is this possible? Because of Jesus. Jesus has already done the hard work. Are we living into this promise of the new heaven and the new earth? How can we break and separate and no longer allow these divisions to hold so tightly to our lives? Do we truly believe in the promise of this reconciliation, of the wolf eating with the lamb? The wolf not eating the lamb, right? Or the lion and the ox eating together? Friends, that draws me to Holy Communion, of sharing the table, where we ask for forgiveness and we are receiving grace from God. And that grace extends beyond just this table, but all the tables. That is the realization of the new heaven and the new earth. And so, friends, how are we going to live that? We are called to rejoice in this new creation. We are called to rejoice that the things that separate us from one another will cease to exist. We are called to rejoice that the things that separate us between us and God no longer exist. Thanks be to God for this image. Thanks be to God who continues to create and recreate us inside, us as a community, and the whole world. So friends, we can't go back to the way things were. We need to continue to move forward into the future that God promised so long ago, that we may rejoice in a new heaven and a new earth this day and every day. For the days are surely coming when Christ will come. Christ will come again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.